Our scripture reading this morning, I've got three different scriptures, comes from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, Genesis chapter 5, 1 through 2, and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start with Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Moving to Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. And then finally, 1 Corinthians 12, 21 through 26. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you." Nor again can the head say to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the parts of the body which seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body which we think less honorable, we invest with greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior parts, that there may be no discord in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. This ends our reading. I got to tell you, it's good to be back. It's good to be back. You know, as I walked through, walking back into service during this week, I'd come forward here in front of the altar rail, and there were times where I had to fight back tears because of how much this place and you all mean to me. And even with as good as it is to be back, to be forthright, I also have been dreading it for a while. There's been a lot of tension in my heart when it comes back to returning to worship. About 2 weeks into lockdown, just something happened in me. And I imagine that it probably happened in you as well. And so today I chose the passages for the sermon. I didn't go with the lectionary because I wanted to address what I believe that all of us are feeling. But before I go into my sermon, there are a number of people I want to thank. First off, Brad. When this pandemic hit, it was like we got an email one day and we had to change everything in a two-day span. And Brad has been instrumental in making sure that everything is updated well to our website, to Facebook, to Instagram. He has an excellent mind for this and he keeps me sane when we have to deal with all that. Brad has been just absolutely incredible. We have relied heavily on his highly caffeinated brain over the last number of months. And mine was highly caffeinated. Believe me, that's the pot calling the kettle black right there. But I mean, Brad went as far as to try to find good lighting for one of his videos. So he went out into his backyard and played an acoustic set in his backyard. And his neighbor found that very entertaining. They're watching Brad sing to himself. I got to thank Ryan and the trustees. A lot has gone on. Insurance, the roof. And they've been wonderful during this time. Jim and Daryl for managing additional financial needs of the church. Sharon, Nancy, and so many others who have made masks for us so that we can be safe. The worship committee for reviewing all of our COVID-19 return plans for my family and wife, most of whom are not here because we're waiting to hear back from Abigail's doctor or whether or not it's safe for her to return. I got to thank them for how many times they made home uncomfortable in the last number of months. And what I mean by that, I would announce to both the yard and to the house, I'm about ready to record. Whatever you do, keep the dog quiet. Put him in a closet. Just let him loose. I don't care. Keep the dog quiet. They've had to work around me the last number of months. And then finally, for you all, for your support online, for the phone calls, for a lot of feedback that Brad and I have been getting for what we're doing online, for your constant financial support, this has been an interesting time. And nobody knew what was going to happen, but what I can tell you is this ministry remains strong because of you. So thank you for all that you've done. And then finally, for maintaining social distancing this morning, I think some people are going to watch us live. We've got live streaming going right now. And they're going to see how well we manage all of this, and then they'll decide whether or not they can come back next week. All right, so for me to be able to say that everybody kept on their mask except for me, all right, that means something. That's an open door for people to come back to worship. So thank you for all of that. Now on to my sermon. How many of you, and feel free to raise your hand, how many of you have had to spend some time on crutches? All right, now keep your hand up. How many of you have had to go over a month on crutches? Over 1 month on crutches. How about 2 months? Should we just say that Brian wins? I think Brian's going, right? 3 months. How much of a pain are crutches? They're terrible. They're absolutely terrible. When you have to use crutches, right, and I've spent months and months on crutches, there's a certain amount of thankfulness that you build for your leg. Right? You get on those crutches and you are so thankful for that leg, right, and for what it's been doing for you, because you realize, man, it is hard to go without one leg. Right? But there are certain benefits that come from having to use crutches, and that is that your core is engaged, your triceps, right, on the back of your arm are engaged. And I can tell you that I had to spend the most amount of time on crutches when I blew out my ACL. I was already married to Carol, right? And there were times where I would just kind of push myself around on those crutches. I'd get up close to Carol and I'd kind of lean forward on those crutches, engage those triceps, and try to impress my wife, right? Try to make those suckers pop a little bit. And if you did it just right, you could take the crutch and kind of push the tricep out. Yeah, Isaac knows what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah, yeah, I know, because he's got nice triceps, right? That's what happens, right? You have to engage all these other body parts. In the absence of your leg, it's painful, but it's productive. You learn also what it is that you can take. You become stronger. There are two verses in Genesis that are absolutely cutting edge. I read them for you this morning. Cutting edge. And it's easy to miss why they are cutting edge. Now, I got to be honest, they're not fully understood, but in the ways that they are understood, they were before their time. Listen to this once again. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, after our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move. And then they go on and drive this point home again in the very next verse. Then God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, and he specifies male and female. He created them. Three times in two verses, the image of God is brought up. The book of Genesis, they think, is somewhere around 3,400 years old. That is old. And even then, the book of Genesis is making it clear that we were given something reflecting God. that we were created with something that reflects God. Not just in men, but also in women, which is in stark contrast to how much of the world treated women, especially during that time. That's cutting edge. Driving this point home even more, Genesis lists a second time how both sexes were made in the image of God. This is Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. This is a record of the family line of Adam. When God created humankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female. When they were created, he blessed them and named them humankind, both men and women created in the image of God. I wanted to go into further detail, get some more information on what this meant, to be created in the image of God. So I found an article from the Harvard Theological Review from 1979 containing arguments about these passages. They had two principal concerns. Concern number one, now get this, men, do not bring this up to your wives over lunch. Don't do it. Concern number one, if woman was made from the rib of Adam, was she really made in the image of God? That has to be the most ridiculous argument I've ever heard in my life. Yeah, feel free to move away from your wife, right? This is ridiculous. What kind of an argument is that? That's like a guy saying, look, I don't know what's wrong with her. I'm made in the image of God. She's made in the image of me. That's ridiculous, right? That doesn't make any sense at all, right? It's clear. Man and women, both man and woman, both made in the image of God. Fortunately, this article came to that conclusion. And then secondarily, the second concern was, what does it really mean to be made in the image of God? If I came up to you and I asked you, how are you made in the image of God? What would you answer? It turns out that in the ancient Eastern tradition, to be made in the image of God meant to be patterned in part after a person both in external and internal characteristics. Both external and internal characteristics. This means that internally there is a reflection of the divine in you. There is a reflection of the divine in you. A spark of the divine. However, Genesis stops short of defining exactly what those internal reflections are. And I'd like to suggest that the New Testament helps us to answer that question, which is why we jump forward to 1 Corinthians, where Paul gives us a list of spiritual gifts, and he likens those spiritual gifts as being integral parts of one body. And the idea is fairly simple. It's that each individual person is given a different spiritual gift, and that when those spiritual gifts come together, they create one complete spiritual body. The list includes a message of wisdom, a message of knowledge, of faith, healing, and prophecy, and it's not limited to those. He addresses how important each part is by writing, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think less honorable, we treat with special honor. And he continues talking about how important each part is. As I read that 1 Corinthians passage, I thought to myself, this is how I feel about being in Lindsay Trinity. This is how I feel about being right here. I get to experience the divine spark in each one of you on Sunday mornings here. Each one spark unique to the individual and integral to the part are integral to the whole. I realize that the reason that my heart was so torn on coming back to worship this morning was because I knew that I'd be able to celebrate those divine sparks that I got to see in the people who could make it, who felt comfortable being here. But that on the other hand, I would miss terribly those parts of the spiritual body that did not feel comfortable or who did not feel comfortable returning. And it's not just a matter of missing somebody. It's not. It's not just a matter of wanting to socialize. That diminishes what we have here. It's a matter of celebrating that divine spark that each one of us has and contributes to this body. You know, I've paused too long. Now I've got to say it. If you ever wonder whether or not, you know, that divine spark is in each one of the people here, just spend some time getting to know the people around you. You know, just dwell with them for a while. Talk with them and look for it. Man, it just comes. You just see it and it's beautiful, and it's not just missing somebody. You know, I didn't ask him, but he might be watching live. So, Jerry Baird, forgive me, buddy. There is something about Jerry. Right? When you see Jerry and you sit down and you talk with him, if you get to know him just even the smallest amount, man, there's something about that guy's heart. And the reason I chose Jerry over everybody else is because I knew weeks ago that Jerry couldn't come back, you know, that there's too much of a threat here. You sit down and talk to that man any period of time and get into his life, and dear gosh, man, like you see it in his eyes and you see it in his heart, and his whole demeanor reflects this authenticity and this. Dang it. Sorry, I'm. Look, I promise anybody who's watching online right now who doesn't come here, I don't normally do this. I don't tell people to wear masks, to watch out for droplets, then shower the place with my tears. It's not how I do it. But he's just a part of that divine spark. He's a part of that body that's just so incredible. And you get to know him, right, and you see it. And guess what? I could go around this room, and I could tell you about the divine spark that I see in each one of you. And to miss that hurts. To know that the body is not complete in the absence of those people who can't be here, that really hurts. By week two of this pandemic, I just knew that things wouldn't be right. Well, I don't even know why I'm using notes at this point. Here's the deal. It may feel like we are on crutches for a while. It may feel like we don't get to celebrate that divine spark in the people that we are missing here. That spark is still there. The spark is still active in the world. And that spark is still powerful, and we will miss it. But it will feel like we are limping along at times, and I know that's true. I know that's true. But in that time, I believe that God will grow our spiritual triceps, as weird as it is to say. and that he will do something powerful in us as we go through this. I don't know what it is. I don't have an application point where I can tell you what it is that we are supposed to do. Here's what I believe to my core, that God, through his presence and through his Spirit, will enable us to rise up and be the parts of the body that we need to be in the absence of other parts. And then when we can all come back together, dear gosh, watch out, world. Because when all of those sparks to come together and create the fire that is the complete Lindsay Trinity, that power, man, that's worth celebrating. And I am thankful to be a part of it. That's what it means to be church, to be a part of the divine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the way you manifest yourself in the lives of the people here and the lives of the people watching online. I want to thank you for the way that you encourage and inspire us to be brighter lights for you because of the people you surround us with here. Be with those amazing people that cannot be with us here today. Continue to empower them to be in our communities, to know how much we love them. Lord, whether it be this short period of time during this coronavirus, let's hope it's short, or whether it be a longer time like Jake going into the military, whatever it is, help us to be your body. Brighten our lights. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.